So there's been a £500 million projected overspend of public money under a DUP department. And you're suggesting that this election is not about that. It's about your very strong negotiators and Sinn Féin can't hack it. This has nothing to do with public anger at how the DUP did not protect our money. Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm suggesting. That's not what I'm saying. I didn't ask this election. Sinn Féin caused the election and Sinn Féin set out the reasons for the election.
And they set part out of the which reasons. Was RHI.
Hold on. You've asked a question. Would you just give me one moment to answer it, please?
Fair enough.
They then made a statement, and the statement identified legacy was important, so they wanted additional funding to go into investigating things around soldiers and about policemen whilst covering up all of the activities with the IRA. They wanted an Irish Language Act, which would outstrip the costs of RHI over and over and over again if we actually brought in the Irish Language Act.
Did you not agree many years ago to an Irish Language Act?
When would that have been?
You never agreed to it? Conor Murphy, do you want to tell him?
When would that have been?
It was part of St Andrews Agreement.
Yeah. And when did the DUP agree to that?
In St Andrews.
No. What happened at St Andrews was at the last moment Gerry Adams pressed for the Irish language to be inserted. Tony Blair inserted it. So if Sinn Féin want to call somebody in for promising something on the Irish Language Act, call Tony Blair in. Because the DUP never agreed to it.
So the DUP did not agree to St Andrews?
We never agreed to an Irish Language Act. And
did you agree to St Andrews?
I was a politician in the Department of Culture, Arts and Leisure in 2008 who went through all of the issues related to the Irish Language Act and identified the costs that were associated and that the costs were around £20 billion per year.
Edwin Poots, it's called...
Sinn Féin
wants
to impose that upon everybody else and take that from education and take it from health to pay for
it. Edwin, it's called the St Andrews... It's called the St Andrews Agreement. The key word is agreement.
Mm-hmm. And can Conor Murphy recall at any point that the DUP negotiators at St Andrews or anywhere else ever agreeing to the Irish Language Act? We didn't. We never did.
So why did you sign off on it if you knew it was in it?
Because this was something that was being delivered by the Stormont Assembly. We had never agreed to it. This was a side deal done between Tony Blair and Gerry Adams.
No.
So it is a matter for Tony Blair and Gerry Adams to resolve between themselves. It's not a matter for the DUP.
But you knew that the Irish Language Act was in the St Andrews Agreement before you signed up to it and you agreed to it. Is there no integrity left in politics anymore?
No,
you're now saying that, yes, you signed up to the agreement, but there was part of it that you didn't agree with, so you'll tell people after you sign up to the agreement.
How
can this country move forward on that basis?
Can you not understand this? We have never, ever, ever agreed, and we've had many discussions with Sinn Féin over the years, we have never, ever agreed to an Irish Language Act.
Did you sign up to the St Andrews Agreement? Answer yes.
Tony Blair done a side deal with Gerry Adams, and that is a matter between Tony Blair and Gerry Adams.
It's written into the agreement.
We never signed up to an Irish Language Act. I, as Minister of Culture, Arts and Leisure, investigated all of the issues around it, and if anybody, let's be very clear with this. This is no detestation or hatred of the Irish language. What language people want to speak is entirely up to themselves.
This is actually more revealing.
I have absolutely no issue with anybody engaging in speaking the Irish language. That is something which has a huge heritage, actually, amongst Presbyterians, and particularly amongst Scottish Presbyterians, who saved the Gaelic language there. But I'm not prepared to have millions and tens of millions taken away from education, health and all of the other things that we need to do to have Irish language, for example, in our courts.
To have every public office
in Northern Ireland having an Irish language.
Let me have a conversation with you. This is the point I'm making to you is bigger than the Irish Language Act. The question that I'm asking you this morning is how can the public, from whatever background they're in Northern Ireland, trust a political party? In this discussion, your party, the DUP. If essentially what you're saying is, yes, it was written down, yes, we signed up to that agreement, but actually we reserve the right to handpick a bit that we signed up to, that we knew was in it, and then we say, we didn't like it, we didn't put it in, We might have signed up to it, so therefore we're not implementing it. On what planet is that honourable as we go forward in Northern Ireland?
How dare you, Mr. Nolan? This was a dishonourable act carried out by Tony Blair. Whenever a deal had been arranged, and a dishonourable act by Gerry Adams for that matter, whenever a deal had been arranged and been agreed, that they tried to slip something in under the carpet at the last minute.
But
we knew we would have the ability to deal with this in the Assembly. We knew that St Andrews...
But just for clarification, you knew it was in the agreement.
And we did deal with it.
You knew it was in the agreement when you signed up to it, correct?
The Irish language. An Irish Language Act would strip tens of millions of pounds on an annual basis out of Northern Ireland's budget.
So you just said you would deal with it when you were back at the Assembly.
Go back to the statement that I made to the Assembly in 2008 on the Irish Language Act, dealing with all of these issues, and it's very specific why we didn't do it. It wasn't about any hatred of a language. That's just a nonsense being perpetuated by Sinn Féin.
This is not my question this morning.
It is about a huge waste of a public resource.
This is not...
Whenever people have their Irish language schools, they have their Irish language classes, Irish can be taught in schools.
Edwin, you need to let me speak to you. The point is, if you just keep on speaking, I'll keep on speaking too. I need to be able to ask you questions. The question remains because it's a fundamental part of a future of our democracy in Northern Ireland. Why did your party sign up to an agreement that you knew you did not intend to completely honour?
We made an agreement which Tony Blair and Gerry Adams slipped something into after we had made the agreement.
You saw it before you signed the agreement.
For Tony Blair and Gerry Adams.
Are you suggesting that was slipped in after you signed that agreement?
That was in after we had completed our negotiations.
That's not my question.
Piece of paper that was added to the back office.
Are you suggesting it was put in before, after you signed that agreement?
At no point. Did the DUP agree to an Irish Language Act? At no point was
did you sign the agreement knowing it was in the agreement?
At no point did we agree to it. You know, you can say
yes, you did. You signed the agreement.
We never agreed to an Irish Language Act.
You signed the totality of the St Andrews Agreement.
The issue of honour is between the British government, who knew this was passing over to the Assembly, and in many ways they've pulled a fast one on Gerry Adams by doing what they've done. They made a promise that they knew they never had to fulfil, and then left the problem with us. But that was not untypical of Tony Blair.
So where we're at here, because if this is still your present position, then logic follows, Edwin, that if you go into an agreement after the election, if you enter that agreement and there is a document in front of you which has the totality of that agreement in it, you may not honour it.
Honour what we say we're going to honour. And at no stage did we say we would
signed the St Andrews Agreement. You signed it.
It's a little tedious, Stephen, but I'll explain it again. We never, ever agreed to an Irish Language Act. And if there's a side deal done between Tony Blair and Gerry Adams, that is a matter for them.
I'm not letting this go for one more moment. When you sign an agreement, what does it mean?
We have never at any point indicated any desire to bring in an Irish Language Act to Northern Ireland.
So it was the St Andrews partial agreement then, was it?
You can call it what you wish.
It was the St Andrews agreement with DUP small print.
We have done what was asked of us in terms of the St Andrews agreement and what we said we were going to do. And what we agreed to do with the
Irish Language Act was in the St Andrews Agreement, which the DUP signed up to. This is a very important point for the future, any future agreements that the DUP claim to make, that you hold out now.
I'll say it very slowly for you this time, Stephen, just so you'll maybe take it in. The DUP, at no point, has ever agreed to establish an Irish Language Act the UK government, with the Irish government, with Sinn Féin, or anybody else.
Well, let me say that is
the position, and I hope you can understand that.
Well, let me say the question very, very slowly in return. Did the DUP sign the St Andrews Agreement, which included the Irish Language Act? Yes or no?
The DUP negotiated the St Andrews Agreement.
I've asked you to say yes or no.
And at the, well, I'm giving you an answer, Stephen. Not everything is yes or no. The DUP negotiated the St Andrews Agreement. We never agreed to an Irish Language Act in that negotiation.
Colin Murphy, your reaction to this?
Well, I think it indicates the problem that we have in doing business with the DUP, and it's something that we have, I think, beat our heads against a brick wall with now for a long, long time. The reality is this isn't about finances or money. It is about an antipathy towards the language, and if it wasn't anything else, Gregory Campbell certainly would have been disowned by the DUP for his insulting remarks, which he then took to a DUP conference to do a comedy act around with the approval of the DUP delegates. So it is about that antipathy towards it, and that I think the people who want to see an Irish Language Act, ourselves included, and a broad swathe, not just confined to republicanism or nationalism, but across the community, who wish to see this, wish to see their rights protected, and I think that would have been a telling factor in terms of Paul Given's decision to withdraw the LIFA bursary, a decision that he then reversed, apparently, for political reasons.
But he said it wasn't for political reasons.
Protection of their rights. Scotland has it, Wales has it. And it was in the St Andrews Agreement, and therefore an understanding among parties that what we signed up to would be delivered.
Edwin, I'm just reading from the St Andrews Agreement here. The government will introduce an Irish Language Act reflecting on the experience of Wales and Ireland and work with the incoming executive to enhance and protect the development of the Irish language. Next paragraph. The government firmly believes in the need to enhance and develop the Ulster Scots language, heritage and culture, and will support the incoming executive in taking this forward. So are you seriously suggesting that it is honourable to pick out a paragraph of something that you don't like and say, yes, it might be in there, yes, we might have signed up to it, but we didn't agree to it?
Well, the government that's being referred to was the UK government. So ask them why they've been dishonourable. Not us. We've done nothing dishonourable in this process.
Is it not, never, would it not have been an honourable thing?
To implement something that we had indicated at all points that we were opposed to?
Would it not have been dishonourable to
our electorate? It would have been dishonourable to the public of Northern Ireland to actually say that we weren't doing something and then go ahead and do it? That would have been totally dishonourable.
Would it not have been honourable to refuse to sign it until you fought for it to be taken out?
We negotiated our position, and there was a side deal done at the last moment between Tony Blair and Gerry Adams, and that was inserted. And it was inserted, and you've just read it out, in a way that the UK government was going to implement it. The UK government didn't implement it. Sinn Féin's gripe is not with the DUP, because we never agreed to do it in the first instance. They might like our position, but they can't claim that we're dishonourable, because we have stood by what we said we would do. We didn't go back on anything in relation to St Andrews that we said we're going to do.
Edwin, is your difficulty not here that I listened to Simon Hamilton yesterday when he was talking to the committee that was scrutinising his latest proposal to reduce the RHI cost to the public? And what Simon Hamilton was saying as an elected representative was, look, when people signed up to the RHI scheme, they knew that the intent was for the government to return about a 12% return, not a 50, 60% return. They knew in the contract that they had to use the heat for a proper purpose. And what Simon Hamilton was essentially doing was asking citizens in Northern Ireland to be responsible, to be honourable to what was in the spirit of the contract. And meanwhile, you're telling the same citizens in Northern Ireland that not only will you not adhere to the spirit of what is in an agreement, you won't adhere to it even if you sign up to it being written in black and white.
How can
your party, with any type of integrity, approach people in Northern Ireland now and tell them you want them to honour the spirit of the RHI agreement if you are not honouring the black and white detail of the Irish Language Agreement, of the Irish Language Act?
And I really appreciate you helpfully reading out what was actually in the St Andrews Agreement. And it very clearly stated the government. And the government, we weren't in government at that time. Who was the government? The government was the UK government. Now, the UK government made a commitment to Sinn Féin. And the UK government did not honour that commitment to Sinn Féin. Now, Sinn Féin want to collapse the Assembly and bring the UK government back into the process. So Sinn Féin, having failed to get the commitment out of the UK government, are going to go back to them cap in hand because they can't cope with the DUP. The DUP are too strong for them. They want a weaker brand of unionism to negotiate with. And I'm not uncomfortable with that. We have implemented government for the last 10 years. We've brought a stability to Northern Ireland for the last 10 years. You know, you've targeted Arlene Foster in this show day after day after day.
Arlene Foster was the
most successful economy minister in the history of Northern Ireland and brought tens of thousands of jobs to Northern Ireland, put herself out, travelled all over the world negotiating deals with companies and bringing company after company after company back to Northern Ireland. We are in a much better position than we were 10 years ago. Far greater employment, more employment actually brought into Northern Ireland than any other region in the United Kingdom outside of the South East. So we have had a huge success story to go out and tell people about, and we're very proud of what we've achieved. Very proud of the infrastructure investments that have been made over the course of the last 10 years. New hospitals built, new schools built, new roads built. Northern Ireland is in a considerably better position. Sinn Féin running away from the process because they've taken a fit of pique is pathetic on their part. David Trimble suspended the Assembly three times, every time from a position of weakness. And it's astonishing to see Sinn Féin has allowed themselves to get into such a position of weakness that they can't deal with the DUP.
You don't think the DUP is in a position of weakness given what has happened with the renewable heat incentive scheme?
No, because the DUP have said we're happy for a judge-led independent investigation to take place. We're happy to carry out remedial actions so the issues that have arisen over RHI can be dealt with and they can be investigated by someone who is completely independent, and we're happy for the facts to be laid on the table.
Can I just ask one last question, Edwin, around the Simon Hamilton's latest proposals of bringing essentially in an emergency scheme to limit the public exposure for a year. He's trying to bring something in that will stop over the next year our exposure. In other words, he's going to do the tiering system that maybe with the benefit of hindsight should have been in from the start, but he wants to bring that in for applicants who have already signed up to it. He also wants absolutely everybody on the scheme audited. Why has it taken a year to do that? Why did it take the public anger for the government in Northern Ireland to decide to do that? When you first heard about this terrible overspend, why did you not start doing that then?
No, my understanding, and you do quote a year, and that's not far from being accurate, Stephen. I think it was February last year, so it was 11 months. We're immediately into an election cycle, and post the election cycle, the departments were allocated. So Simon Hamilton came into office around June. I understand that work started in that time. And, you know, had that work not started, it wouldn't have been possible to actually have turned around what has been proposed so quickly. So, you know, clearly there's a lot of legal and technical issues around here that people have had to test and go through. And these things cannot be resolved in weeks or sometimes even months. So understand that course of work was ongoing long before the spotlight.
No, I listened to his contribution where he said that they were working looking at a range of different options, but this new option they hadn't looked at. This is a new option. I'm really putting it to you that it's taken, you know, the media and the public to tell you how bad the situation is before you've tried to sort it.
Well, Simon obviously would be best placed to respond to these things in the detail. I understand that all of these things were being investigated from June as to how we could resolve this, and that there was no acceptance that £20 million could be expended each year. I should say the RHI scheme, had we not had an RHI scheme, we would have been paying huge fines to Europe. So there was a necessity about having it. There is many good aspects to it. There has been considerable money brought into Northern Ireland as a result of it. However, as it is devised, it wasn't the way it was planned in terms of the overspend. But the target that Arlene Foster should have known that whenever Ofgem didn't know it, the civil servants didn't know it, the specialist consultants brought in didn't know it, and the Assembly scrutiny
Hold on.
Could have foreseen this.
Just hold on.
It is something which was ill-placed. Yeah. And it just became an actual hate campaign against Arlene Foster, and I think that was very sad and something that when people reflect on it will not look kindly on those who engaged in it.
Well, just when you mention Ofgem, actually the facts are that in May 2014, Ofgem talked to Detty about tiering and digression. They had discussions with them about that. In September 2015, Ofgem were engaging in daily conversations. Ofgem were also asking, this is September 2015, over a year ago, Edwin. Mm-hmm. Ofgem were asking the department, what should we do about this spike?
So Ofgem didn't sign off on it then?
During the spike, Ofgem doesn't sign off on anything. The government, the department signs off on it.
Yeah, but
Ofgem during the spike in September 2015, because I've read all the documents, they were asking for more money to do audits. Do you know how many audits we did in 2015-16, Edwin? 14.
I think it was 12.
We did 14. 2014-15, we did 12. 15-16, we did 14. 16-17, we did 26. Now, Simon Hamilton, to be fair to him, he brought in 295 extra audits when he came in. And he decided, look, we need to look at this. But Ofgem were just doing a handful of audits.
On all of this, Stephen, you know, there's a lot of things which are wholly dissatisfactory. And, you know, a lot of those things have been highlighted over the course of the last 6 weeks. And that's fine. We need to deal with those and will deal with them. And that is why the emergency legislation is being brought forward. And there'll be more detailed legislation brought forward because this is only for a single year. And hopefully we can get a better arrangement. Even after this, but the intention is very clear that we do not be expending the additional £20 million per annum, that we have the environmental benefits, that the benefits to the Northern Ireland economy of the additional £700 million that was brought into the Northern Ireland Exchequer is something that we still have, and those are all things that we will do, and at the same time. We're very, very happy for a full, independent investigation, judge-led, to take place, so all of the facts can be laid on the table.
Okay.
Then it's not trial by media. All the papers are there. Everything is done in a very fair and impartial way, and we get to those facts. But in the meantime, Arlene Foster, who has been a superb First Minister and who has brought tens of thousands of jobs to Northern Ireland over her period as Deputy Minister, will continue to lead the DUP. And she shouldn't have been driven from office by the Ulster Unionists and Sinn Féin in cahoots with each other.
Edwin Pooch, thank you very much indeed. Of course, the Ulster Unionists would reject it. They're in cahoots with Sinn Féin.